Speaking over the last few weeks at a title that God has given to us, Will We Let the Holy Spirit Build Christ's Body Through Us? And the last time when I was teaching on this, I was speaking much about yielding over to the Spirit, and this is the only way that it's going to be achieved and done, as we allow God to work in and through us, not fighting Him, but simply yielding over to the work that He's doing with us. It's having that right attitude and heart. We show that it's a state of mind. It's just yielding to the Spirit. And this is not yielding over to good works or doing or being busy, but it's yielding over, allowing Him to move and work, and everything that He's doing achieved and done through us. I cannot see that this can be built. That is, the bride who makes herself ready, she cannot make herself ready unless she is learning to yield over to the Holy Spirit, who is building in and through us. And we were looking at some of these things last time, but I want to take it a step further today. Will we let the Holy Spirit build Christ's body through us? And we know that we are at present being restored under Christ's headship. And at times we sometimes forget this. We can take these meetings for granted. We can come sometimes with just a wrong attitude, or we can come just another meeting and just taking it all for granted. But we are actually being drawn under the Lord's presence, His banner, because it's not achievable otherwise. It just cannot be done. Or it can be done, but in man's works, and just simply become an organization, a denomination, which so many are. And of course we know how this has been worked and achieved, because God always uses man in which to do these things. And as we know in Ephesians 4:11, which it says here that he gave himself some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, which we call the fivefold ministry. And we are told that this is for equipping of the saints. It's for our work and our ministry. And what this equipping for the saints, this work of the ministry, is for the edifying of the body of Christ. We could say it is for the equipping, it's for the building, edifying, till it's become to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So it's, in other words, we are experiencing the fullness of the Godhead, which as we yield over to Him, as we allow Him to build. So the experience that comes out of this is that we have a greater knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one which we confess and we say we love and follow. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, cunning craftiness, or deceitful plottings. So we get a clear indication of why we come together, why God is restoring the ministry and the fivefold ministry, why we're to come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, so that we can have wisdom, we can have discernment, we can discern the truth against error, we can discern demonic activity, we know what our warfare is about. It's all again about discernment, because if we can discern, we know the enemy's trickery and everything, that is preservation to us. We're not going to be devoured or tricked or whatever it would be. But speaking the truth in love, which of course we do, we grow up in all things under Him who is the head Christ. So our confession, what we speak, what we are learning, we always speak that in the right heart and in the right spirit, that is, in the love of God. That is very, very important. Sometimes we miss this out. We're to speak this truth. We're to proclaim the word. We're to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And it's always done in love. Why? That we may grow and others who hear may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. And that is the part that I want to focus on. It says in this last verse on this part, supply, joints are supplied according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. Am you causing growth? That is why we're saying, will we let the Holy Spirit build Christ's body through us? It's no good looking to anyone else. Am I, who am baptized into this body, am I causing it to grow? The growth mean maturity, sonship, growing up. Is my presence, my beliefs, my faith, my overcoming, my commitment to this local assembly, is it causing growth? Now maybe that's something that we need to take away and pray about. Because a healthy body is what one that grows. We know that a child cannot remain in that state. A child has to mature and grow. If that child is not growing or developing, then we know something is wrong, most definitely. And yet we're not always able to spiritually discern this in the body of Christ, in the body that we are identified with, where we function. We need to look at it and say sometimes, Father, it may be not growing as it should. We're not in that growth. The growth is not there as it should be. Sometimes we need to seek God, and we need to pray, or we need to pray for the assembly. It's very important. This is why we come to our prayer meetings. We pray for the assembly. We pray one for another. We pray for its ministry, for the word that goes forth, the word that we are blessed with, and so forth. It's very important to pray these principles, to press in, to keep with them, because this helps with growth, maturity, of which we are all dependent upon. We cannot just have that state of mind and thinking, oh well, I'm not sure about whether my brother or sister's growing, but as long as I am, that's all that matters. What it speaks about here is our growth is dependent on the body growing. So I have to look away from myself. Yes, I make sure that I'm growing, but I need to look to my brothers, my sisters, praying for them that they too are growing, because that is the overall growth for the whole body. This is why I keep saying we're in this together. And everyone is vital, whatever part you play. But we are, as we see, for this to be achieved and done, we are being restored under the headship, the banner of Jesus Christ. Now, as we know, over the centuries, the divine order in Christ's body has been replaced by man's replacement, man replacing his ministry, eldership, man-made ministry, instead of the fivefold ministry, the anointed ministry. And because of this, we've got a state now where we've got religious training colleges, professional clergy, and professional and non-professional, and so on. Well, we know that these are all terms that are not related to a true New Testament church, and you certainly cannot find it in the book of Acts. We're all members of the body. We all function. It is an organism. There's no such thing as a full-time and part-time ministry or disciple. Discipleship is full discipleship, 24/7, and so on. So we are getting delivered from all these ideas, this thinking, this mindset. You see, Christ intended to govern his body. He intended to govern his body through the Holy Spirit, and that's why he poured out his Spirit at Pentecost, that 120 in the upper room, so that he could take his headship over that assembly and cause it to grow. And we know that the Holy Spirit, he is the executor on earth. That is why the Holy Spirit fundamentally has come baptizing us, empowering us in the Spirit, so that the executor may cause us to see what our inheritance is in Christ Jesus. As we know in John 16, if we read it, verse 7 to 15, John 16, 7 to 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, the judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. This is profound, what Jesus is saying. And of course these disciples, they didn't understand what he was saying there. Many times God speaks and we don't know, but he says, you will. When you, the Holy Spirit comes, then he will show you. And here we get this idea of an executor. He's the executor on earth. The Holy Spirit bears witness as an executor, as obviously an executor does to an estate. So we need to know, the executor will reveal what is in the estate, what you have inherited. But you have to go through the proper channels in order to inherit. And that's why you have an executor. So bearing that in mind, what is Jesus actually saying here? So he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, verse 7. It is to your advantage that I go away. Well, he was speaking to the disciples there. He's not actually speaking to us, because he wasn't going away. He has come to us. But he says, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So he says, he is going to send him. Jesus is going to send his Spirit. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. So that's absolutely vital. That's the first thing that the executor, the Holy Spirit, when he comes in to minister, he has to convict man of sin. Because sin has to be dealt with first. Man has to be made right before God. Sin has got to be appeased. It's got to be dealt with. Otherwise, we just cannot hear or know or understand Almighty God, and of righteousness and of judgment. So we've got to be cleared of God's wrath, judgment which is to come on the world and so forth, of sin, because they do not believe in me. So many who don't believe, but will believe because of what sin has done. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of course he goes to his Father, because he's righteous, pure and holy. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judge. So he's revealing here that the Holy Spirit anointing, baptizing, who's the type of executor, showing us what our inheritance is. He's showing in this inheritance that the ruler of this world has been judged. Which is interesting, because he shows us now what is authority over him. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And we can't. And this is why God will speak to us at the right time, when we are ready, as we mature and grow. That's why you can't know everything when you get saved. We wouldn't be able to understand. We're still, you know, we're still learning. We never stop learning. We'll be learning throughout eternity, but there's enough that God needs to show us in this life that we need to know. Of judgment, because the rule, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he guides you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So he is hearing. Jesus, who is risen, seated at the right hand, he is hearing what the Father is saying, that we need to hear and know, that we may continue to overcome, mature in the faith. He is revealing, as an executor through the Holy Spirit, what our inheritance is in Christ Jesus. Because that's what it is. And there is much that is and will be revealed through the body of Christ. He doesn't just reveal this to one person, but what the Holy Spirit is doing in restoring us back under his headship, that we all together may be blessed with what is being revealed in the last days. That's why I keep saying one band man ministries are finished. It is not God's plan. Whether you be a prophet, whether you be an apostle, whether you be an evangelist, whatever it is, when you come back to your local church assembly body, that is where you function, that is where you submit. If there's the pastor there, that's what you do. It's only when you go out, you represent the body that you are baptized into, where you function as that apostle, or as that prophet, or as that evangelist, or as that teacher. When I go from this assembly and I minister at other churches, I'm not ministering or functioning as a pastor. I don't need to. So it's a different anointing that will be upon me. And you can take it's similar. You might not be in an office ministry, but you may be placed into a situation or taken to some place or some person as the Holy Spirit would anoint and lead, and you will find he will work differently in you in one place to another place. This is why you cannot rely, because it worked at that place, or you had certain words, or you said things, whatever you did to that person or those people, doesn't mean say you say the same thing to somebody else. This is why we have to be open to the Holy Spirit, and we have to be open to the anointing, the unction of the Spirit. It's absolutely vital. And however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he guides you into all truth. for he will not speak of his own. So he says he's going to guide us into all truth, because he is the Spirit of truth. And that's why we can take absolute assurance and confidence in the Word of God, in the anointing. We don't have to doubt it, because it's truth. It is pure. It is undefiled. And that's why we can rest in that. And people say, well, how do you know it's the truth? How do you know that's the Word of God? Because it's ministered by the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. Nobody else can do that. You can get demons that counterfeit that, doctrines of demons, but they don't speak in truth. And there's the difference. There's lies attached to it. But whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he will tell you things to come. So there's nothing you need worry about. You are going to hear everything and more that you need to hear. You don't need to go searching. You don't need to go searching for greater revelations or looking around for different ministries all the time. He said he will teach us. He'll show us in that right time. You can rest. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So he's going to declare through the Holy Spirit, the executor, what he has given to Christ. Christ says, I will declare it to you. For what is mine is yours also. See? Isn't it wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
But we have to learn what is in that. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. In other words, that declaration means that you're going to hear what is mine, is which is also yours. And we don't know what is ours unless we hear it. And we claim what is ours by faith. And that is why we have faith, to believe for it, to inherit it. Quite simple, really. But we see that God works through the proper channels in which to do this. God doesn't skip, he doesn't bypass. This is why the body is so essential, because God works through the right channels. God is a God of order. This is why he's restoring divine order in the body of Christ, because he works through the right channels. You can skip them. You can try and go through a different channel, but you will find that God will not be in it, and he'll bring you back, because he works through a divine order every time. But we have to see the Holy Spirit is sovereign. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. So the Holy Spirit, the executor to us, he is sovereign. His ministry to us is sovereign. Everything he says and does is sovereign and most holy. That is why he is called the Holy Spirit. I know this might sound elementary, but we do need to remind ourselves of these things. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in me in Jerusalem, and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, of course, they were asking a very proper question there. You need to be a Jew, a Hebrew, to understand, is the kingdom going to be restored to Israel? But what he was trying to say is, don't worry yourself too much about that. let's concentrate on something that's far greater at the moment that's going to come, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And all of it will start to make sense, you see. That is why the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the anointing of the Spirit, is so vital, it's so important, because then everything starts to make sense. And if anything we need to know or know for the future, he will give it at the right time for us. We don't have to worry. This is why I'm always saying you don't have to keep searching. This is why you've got so many Christians who go from ministry to ministry, church to church, try to look for deeper truths or this ministry or that ministry, only finding they get more and more confused. They have never learned why the baptism has come, baptizing us to teach us, to lead us and guide us into all truth. It's sad that so many have missed his ministry and purpose. What does it say in Acts 13? Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 2. Acts 13, verses 1 to 2. Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets, teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who were called Niger, Lucius, and Cyrene, Manassen, and had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, he laid hands on them and sent them away. Here we see the Holy Spirit said, so he speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks as well. This is why prophecy is so important in the body, because God sometimes wants to speak directly. This is why we all potentially can prophesy. Some of you maybe are not prophesying because you're not using tongues in which prophecy is interpreted. Many times a tongue needs to be given out, then it is interpreted. Maybe that's the only way you're going to prophesy, and sometimes you can speak that tongue out and you can interpret it, or someone else will interpret it in the body, so that we are hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying. He can speak direct sometimes, you see, like we see there. So there are many ways in which the Holy Spirit indeed can teach and guide us. Let's also look in Acts 16, verses 6 to 10. Acts 16 and verses 6 to 10. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Here we see the Holy Spirit, what he's doing. He's guiding. He's leading ministry. And he's going to lead you. It's not just the fivefold ministry, he's going to lead you. He's going to lead you to people. He's going to lead you to maybe minister or pray for someone who's sick, or to share with that household the good news of the gospel. We need to start believing for these things. Make yourself available. Start, "Here am I, Lord. Use me." And he will. He will, if you want to as well. You see, he develops his body for ministry, to teach, to build her, protect her, for fellowship, unity, and love in Christ. And this is what he's doing. We have a great protection around us, brothers and sisters. We're under the banner of the blood of Jesus. And all those promises, including Psalm 91 and so forth. So we have a tremendous protection around us. He's keeping us free from disease and sicknesses if we believe it. He's building us up. He keeps us built up in the faith. So that we're free from all this depression that's attacking people now. I only heard the other day, 1 in 4 is now in this country in some way has some mental problem or depression or whatever. I said, dear Lord, 1 in 4. And it's getting worse. We're protected from all of that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is why the whole body is functioning. You see, Christ will not return until his body is perfected. Let's make no bones about that. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, 27. Ephesians 5, 26, 27. That he may sanctify, cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That is what he's doing. He is perfecting the body of Christ. And he will not return. His first return, of course, is going to be in the clouds to take the first fruits unto himself. He's not going to return until that work is done in his body. Let's make no bones about that. That is ultimately what he's doing with us and others who love the Lord Jesus and who are following him and churches and so on. Another one here. It's 6. 26. Yes, I've just read that. Revelation 19 and verse 17. 7, I should say. Revelation 19 and verse 7. 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now, she can only be made ready by the Holy Spirit. And he has to equip, he has to empower, in order for her to be made ready. It's going to be impossible otherwise, and this is why I come back. Will you let him build that through you and me? And each one of us, that we may be ready. And it's on the basis of simply believing and yielding over to the Holy Spirit. You see, God is restoring each of us back into his family. That is fundamentally what this is. This is God's family, his household. And he's bringing us back into that. We know that the Lord will not come until every Gentile is brought in. And he knows the amount, the number that will be brought in. We don't know that. We're just simply to share the gospel as we know. And this is why divine order is so essential for God to work this. This is why we are brought under his banner, the headship of Christ. And the head of Christ, it says, is man. And after man is the woman. And that is the divine order that he has set. And this divine order is not an order of control. That is not how it works. God doesn't control us. It is a divine order of a willingness to submit. So a wife willingly submits to the headship of her husband. It is not done out of the fact that you have to do it. You must do it. If you love Christ, then you will submit to what he asks of us. And there's a reason for that, because God works through a divine order. We know this, and it's very simple, this analogy. When God formed the woman, we know that he took a rib out of Adam's side, and the woman was created. We know, where did he take it? Out of his side. Not from his head, not from his feet, from the side. Joined so they walk together, side by side. That is how two in harmony walk together. But she will willingly submit to his divine order, that he is the head, and the Holy Spirit will work that. You know, there's a lot of confusion about all of this, but it's quite simple. If the wife loves Jesus, then she's going to allow the Holy Spirit to work through her so that it can be balanced, so that he can be the head. And if he loves the Lord, then he's going to take that headship and he's going to love his wife as Christ loves the church. And there you have a perfect harmony, a blend, working, two becoming one. And this is what it's about, so that we've got this harmony working in the church, functioning, so that we become one with the head, who is Jesus, so that we become, in a sense, that mystery, that one flesh in the Spirit with Almighty God, the same as the one flesh through marriage when the husband and wife come together. This is the mystery that Paul was revealing to the church at Ephesus, and I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us tonight. So he's restoring each of us because he works with this divine order. And so it's the same with the children. The children submit to the parents. Parents, love your children, bring them up in the nurture and fear of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you find that God blesses ministry, he blesses our witness, he blesses our home, we will prosper, we will be blessed, whatever needs, bills have to be paid, all that sort of thing. It will be there because the divine order is set in motion. And then we find that the gifts start to flow. God has given us gifts, not only natural gifts, but gifts of the Holy Spirit, whether it's gifts of healing, faith, or whatever it will be. Those gifts are there. See, Christ's body must be built through us in order for us to be restored, but also for the church to have authority, dominion. You see, this is all about, if you think about it, so I'll bring this to a conclusion now. This all goes back to Genesis, to the Garden of Eden. When God created Adam, Eve, he gave them dominion. What was this dominion? Was it dominion for the heavens, the stars, everything? No, it was dominion for the earth. God gave him that and gave him authority. He revealed to him by the Holy Spirit as the executor, revealing to him, this is yours. Now go and name everything. Name the animals. Go, multiply, replenish, enjoy what I've given you. and glorify me in it. And he forfeited that because Satan took that. But you see, through the second Adam, we are being restored back to that dominion. This is why the body of Christ is so essential for the understanding of this. And to have dominion, you have to go through the right channels. And it is a divine order. And this dominion that's being restored to us through Jesus Christ means that Satan no longer can rob and steal anymore. That's why he's under our feet. Jesus paid the cost on the cross. He dealt with him. Now he said, believe it. Yield. Let me work that through you. Let me show you that you have that dominion. You have authority over him, over the powers of darkness. You see? Because every time we war in the spirit, every time we take authority over demonic forces in prayer intercession, we are proclaiming our dominion that's being restored, given to us, that sadly was forfeited through the first Adam. We are now in the second Adam. Jesus is giving back to us what we let go. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. You see, Adam, he forfeited it, but it's being restored to us now. We're being restored through the second Adam. Don't believe me? You read Colossians. Let's read Colossians chapter 1 as I bring this to a close. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 23. This is profound here when you read this, because you need to know who Jesus really is in order to believe this. You know, Colossians chapter 1, let's take it up from verse 9, I think. Yes. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that's what he's praying here. The apostle was often saying this. He says it also in Ephesians. He says, I'm praying that you will be filled with knowledge of his will, all wisdom and spiritual understanding, because that's how we learn. That's how it's revealed to us. We can't act it unless we know. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So that's a healthy lifestyle, spiritually speaking, that you're walking with him, that you are increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. Here it is. That's the might, that power by the Spirit, strengthened. For what? For building. According to his glorious power. For all patience and long suffering with joy. Strengthened with all might according to his gracious power. For all patience and long suffering with joy. So of course it does. It takes time. Trials and tests and whatever it is. But he's working and building all that. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So here it is. We are inheritors. We are partakers because the Holy Spirit, the anointing, who is the executor, is revealing to us what our inheritance is in Christ Jesus. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. to whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God. That's why Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. He's the firstborn over all creation. He's the blueprint. He is the revealer of God. So when we see Jesus, we see the Father. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So Jesus is the creator. The Father has given him all. That is why the heavens, the stars, everything there, God has given that to Jesus. And through Jesus, he has given us this world that we now live, that we can have dominion on, that's being restored back. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So everything that we know, everything we're told, consists in him. He has been given dominions, powers, whether visible or invisible, even things that we've not even seen. He's been given everything. One of the things that's interesting, isn't it, that you know, they're now sending these type of robot submarines down to the deep depths of the ocean, and they were seeing another world that's down there, never seen before. This just gives you a bit of a glimpse of what it is. That's all been given to Jesus. It's all in him. He's the creator. He was given the power to create all of this from the Father. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Will you let him build that through you? It is mind-boggling. We're just scratching the surface, brothers and sisters. And all he asks of us, just yield over, believe him, and he'll build. He'll reveal, he'll give that revelation, that wisdom, that insight, that understanding, as we are being built up in this, a habitation fit for Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have everything to gain in this. We're being restored. We are being restored, given dominion, which man forfeited, is being restored, given back to us. How do we know? Finally, Romans 8. That's how we know. That's what's been given to us. This is our job. And it has to be finished where Adam forfeited it. In Romans 8. We all know it well, but I think it's very applicable. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, because it's under sin, it's groaning. This is why I say we're types of saviors with a small s. Coming with the King of Kings to rule and reign with him, to restore what? Divine order back on the earth. Because it's chaos now. It's demonic. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So it means that creation is delivered through the church, through the overcomers, the first fruits. We're setting it in motion. This is why God has to build it through us as we yield to the Spirit. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. We're looking for this glorify. We're looking for this greater works ministry, supernatural, to start to set in motion the release of groaning creation. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope for. Why does one still hope for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we greatly wait for it with perseverance. So that's why we've been given the faith teaching for the last day, because we've got to believe and take this by faith. It's all self-explanatory. It's not rocket science. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That is why you yield over to the Spirit, and the Spirit will pray through you. You don't know how to pray. He's not. That's why a lot of our, have you gone through experiences in the past and you thought to yourself, or you said to the Lord, Lord, I don't think these prayers have gone any higher than the ceiling. Honestly, it hasn't gone any higher than the ceiling. That's why. Yield over, let the Spirit pray through you. That's why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's why we yield over, we let God do it, because whatever's happening, no matter how negative it looks, we know that it's all working together for good. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He has to empower that, to bring us back into his image, which he's doing. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these also glorified. Of course, we need to know that by faith we have all this. But we're coming into the realization of it. That's the whole point. That's our overcoming. That's our walking daily with the Lord. So, look what is on the threshold. And we so limit God, don't we? And we limit God because we're still so consumed in self. My trials, what I'm going through, how I feel, somebody upset me today, or whatever it is, it mars us from seeing the greatness of what God is about to accomplish and do. That is why we grow up from that. That's what children do. We don't do it anymore. We're learning to see things on a greater plane. We're looking far, far more out into the distance, and we're seeing the promised land that is there. That is why he's doing this work, brothers and sisters, and he is not going to do this outside the body of Christ. The doorway into the kingdom is set in the midst of the church, which we enter through. He is not going to do this through one man or one ministry. He is going to do it through believers, brought together, united under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he works in a divine order. Will you let the Holy Spirit fill Christ's body through you? That's the question. Heavenly Father, like all things, we take it by faith. But you are teaching us, as you've said. You are unveiling our minds, that revelation, that wisdom, that knowledge. This can only be understood and learnt by the Spirit. Human wisdom and flesh cannot comprehend this. This is why many mock and jeer and think we are stupid. But if you know the truth, then as you said, the truth will set you free. And Father, we make ourselves available. And all you ask of us is to believe and just yield to the Spirit. Father, let none of us be left out in this. But have your way in our fellowship, in our meetings. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see. Open our eyes more to Jesus, who is the Master Builder, as you are restoring us back, Father. Let each of us look to you as to how we're used and function. Help us to be faithful in prayer, intercession. Keep us close to you, Father, each day. Help us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Help us, Father, that whatever trials we go through, just to look away and know that there's a reason for it. It doesn't matter. All that matters is just Jesus and my eyes looking to him and what he has for this day. Lord, we are coming through and we want to thank you for this. We know that that maturity is taking place in us because it can't be done otherwise. And so, Lord, I want to thank you, Father, tonight. Thank you for our time together, our fellowship. Bless the saints who are in the room, Lord.